Now, the Jewish prayer created from the Shema is recited both in the morning and the evening, and it stands as the central, most important precept in Judaism. At first, one could take this passage to mean that one should love those in their immediate community. However, Leviticus goes on to say this: when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress him. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a native born among you. You shall love the alien like yourself, because you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your God. In Judaism, and we think, why do we even care about Judaism? We're Christians. Well, in order to understand your Christianity, you got to understand the Judaism. And in order for the Messianic Jews, in order for them to understand, they have to also understand Christianity, because Jesus is God. And so you need to understand a lot of the Jewish traditions. It'll edify you in such a way you're just blessed beyond all imagination. Jesus was raised Jewish, and he come into the flesh as the promised Messiah. So he interacted with all the people. And so for us to understand our Judaism makes us better Christians. And for Jews to understand Christianity makes them better Jews. It's something that we don't often look at. So in Judaism, these commandments are not just a matter of theology. They are meant to be practiced, and all people are to be treated as beloved people of God. Great rabbis from the time of Rabbi Hillel in the first century, there was also a rabbi in the second century, that have started this transcendent precept that encompasses all other commandments. This would be quoted as the most important precept by another rabbi you might know and dear to all of us, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Jesus. In the scriptures, Jesus stands among the other teachers of the law, and they're discussing the Torah, which is the Old Testament part of the Bible. It's called the Holy Scriptures. They're discussing, and as rabbis frequently do, just like when preachers get together for a preacher's meeting, yeah, we do some of the work, but we're constantly always talking one another, encouraging one another in the faith. And so Jesus is there, and all the rabbis of the time are following him around just to see if they can trick him into doing something, because he claimed to be the Messiah. Jesus stands among the other teachers of the law, and when they're discussing the Torah, rabbis say that they can test Jesus. That's what they wanted to do, is to test him. And in response to their question about the most important commandment, Jesus quotes the Shema, including both in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus quotes a little slightly different. This is what I want to point out, what Jesus said. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. That was the difference that they didn't pick up on. And with all your strength. Jesus added to the Shema the mind. So Jesus, speaking directly to the teachers of the Jewish law or the legal system of the day, you must not only love your emotions, you must love your soul with all your strength, and you must also love your mind. Everything you do, every law that you instill upon people, every judgment you make, and every time you look upon another, you must first love. It's a powerful statement that Jesus had given to them, because the interpretation of the Shema which Jesus presented and what it would mean not only for our loyalty to God, but to our actions, would set the foundation for all of Christianity. For Christians are able to be lovers, not judges, people of mercy, forgiveness, bestowers of banishment and punishment, servants of all, not the wielders of power and judgment. And when we sing that little song, they will know we are Christians by our love, is very much to the point. because Jesus' entire ministry, his parables, his healing, his disputes, and his death would demonstrate this precept that love rules over everything. The love he even gave his life for every person, both friend and enemy. Now, it's a different kind of love than we think about today. We throw that word around very loosely. But the kind of love that Jesus is talking about is sacrificial love, or what we call agape love. Love that is not merited. It's a favor of God to bestow upon us. So this emphasis on our loving relationship with God and with each other is the kind of sacrificial, loyal, bonding, and self-effacing kind of love that was meant to be the defining stamp of what it meant to be a Christian. Now, the Jews have the Shema. We have something we call the Apostles' Creed, which we just read a little bit ago. It's just a testament and an affirmation of our faith relationship with God. The disciples knew it. The Apostle Paul knew it. And in the early church, it became what the Reformers discovered. Today in our church calendar, as we mentioned earlier, we celebrate a time of reformation. Just as the medieval period was ending in many of the great movers and the shakers of the church, and notably Martin Luther, began re-examining the scriptures, Jesus and the church, and began a waving of a flat protest against new legalisms. A corrupt bureaucratic Christian church, the structure which had forgotten the main precept, that his job was not to wield power over God's people, but to serve him, to love God first, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Luther struggled relentlessly with himself and his sin. John Wesley did the same thing on his way to Aldersgate Street. He was a priest for many years, and he just never felt that joy and that peace of having God and the Holy Spirit actively within him. And on his way to Aldersgate Street, when they were reading the preface to the Romans, he said, "My heart was strangely warmed." And he come to understand that it is by faith and faith alone that we're saved. Martin Luther was struggling with the same thing, but he was in the Orthodox Church at the time with a lot of laws, a lot of regulations. You know, you can, if you got a family member that died and you think they might have been in hell, the church will say, "Okay, just give us some money and we can get you out of that situation." So there was a lot of legalism going on, and the church wielded an awful lot of power them days. But Luther struggled with it. And what he understood about God and what he learned as a boy about doing good, he struggled to reach the unattainable goal. I think all of us do that. We have an attainable goal, and we don't reach it, and we beat ourselves up. And he struggled to follow the commandments. I had a friend of mine one time who later had a born-again experience, for lack of a better term, and he would always tell me, "Well, I'm a good person." He says, "I follow the Ten Commandments all the days of my life." And I said, "Do you really?" You know? Luther's frustration sent him back to the scriptures, and that's where it all should be, right back to the scriptures, the source of Jesus' identity and his teaching, only to realize that our goodness and our ability to love comes not from our own devices, but from God, directly with our relationship to God. You heard me talk about that an awful lot, that we are a people that need to be in relationship. And we can be in relationship with God through Christ. So when we love God, it then helps us to learn to love neighbor as ourselves. Jesus' sacrifice was a gift of grace, which allows us to gain entrance into the kingdom of God. When he told the fellow there in the scriptures that you're close, but you're not there yet. It means that Jesus is our means of salvation. Now we do good, not because we're capable, but because God is capable. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion of individual attainment, but it's a religion of relationship with God through Christ, in which we can do good because God is good. When we love God first, we then become capable of loving our neighbor. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that are unlovable, but we got to love them. We don't have to go fishing with them or go hunting with them or go out to dinner with them, but we got to love them. See, when God desires, what he desires from us is not an empty physical or ritualistic deeds, but our love, our relationship, our intimacy, our loyalty. And that's why our relationship with Christ in the scripture is compared to marriage. I don't know if you ever thought about that. In the book of Revelation, it says the marriage supper of the Lamb. The image of marriage all through the Bible talks about that. And that's a kind of a relationship in scripture that is compared to marriage. It is our relationship with Jesus, our intimate, sacrificial, loyal, vulnerable. Boy, you need to be vulnerable sometimes. A committed relationship with Christ, which defines us as Christians. They will know we are Christians by our love. And though that relationship, we need to learn to think, act, and to be different. A Christian's primary job is not to learn the rules, or to memorize passages, or to attend worship, or sing hymns, although these things are all important. How we express our desire to learn about Jesus. But a Christian's primary job is simply to love. To love God, love Jesus, love each other, and love all people from all walks of life. That's what makes the missionary so special, where they're going into countries and different things that don't have that concept of love and helping people and caring for people. Our simple job is to love. And God knows that we need help in doing that. Because like I say, there are some unlovable people out there. That's why God needs to give us the help through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit. And if you go back to the Reformation, in its simple sense, it reminds us of what the most important thing to be directly and personally in a relationship with God, whether through the scripture, through prayer, or through knowledge. So today, we again need reformation in our hearts, especially our minds. We need to once again to remember who we are as Christians, not those who judge others and determine what is right and who is wrong. Not those who separate ourselves from others, our communities, and our world, and somehow think that we are better than they. Not those who are ritualistic, go through the motions of faith while forgetting God throughout the week. Not those who claim to love in the Spirit but do nothing to bring it to life. But those who love passionately and actively and sacrificially and relentlessly. So today we celebrate love, the love of God. We reform ourselves back into the loving image of God, to be his hands, to be his feet, and not just love, but actively and lovingly love each other. And these outside of our immediate circles, to give what others would love for themselves. And that gift is what we would love to receive, where somebody shows us that kind of love. That's where the relationship part comes. To give others, not our waste, but our best. To love others in a way that we yearn to be loved. That's the kind of love Jesus advocated. The kind of love of Jesus he knew would change the world. And it has changed the world for the better. Not a perfect world yet, because we will never attain perfection in this life. As Wesley said, we go on to perfection. Our perfection will take place once we enter into the kingdom of God in heaven. That's the kind of love that Jesus would want us to be. So today I challenge all of us to go out in love and do love. And then when you do love, be loved. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.